open to the things of God. People are open to the things of God. And if you want a message for this, a title for this message, it would be wherever two or three are gathered in His name, He's in the midst. So God does not need a majority. You and the Holy Spirit are a majority. You and God are a majority. Amen. And what happens is when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in our mortal body. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in our mortal body. And we just got to be crazy enough to believe that God, if you said it, you spoke it in your word, then I'm able to do it. And so what happens? You know, it doesn't take a majority. It doesn't take a quorum. It doesn't take a majority. It doesn't take the whole team, everybody in at your job agreeing with you. It doesn't take the whole everybody in Walmart agreeing with what you got to say or anything. All it takes is you and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resident on the inside of you. That's the majority. So wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, He's in the midst. Amen? But see, we got to realize that we are the church. We are the church. God, you know what? God doesn't have a plan B. God does not have a plan B. Just like Mama said Pastor CeCe said last week. She said when God breathed into Adam His spirit, he became a living soul. God put His essence in the Adam. So since that day, every time everybody that's born of a woman, praise God, and thank God for women, amen. Because if it wasn't for women, we wouldn't be here, amen. I mean, like, you know, these men try to say they can do all this other stuff and they were born as a woman, but they cannot create a baby, amen. Praise God. So praise God. Thank God for women, amen. That's God's design. But guess what? Every man that's born of a woman has a disconnect because we're disconnected from our Creator. But God designed a plan. He designed a plan. He designed a plan. He said in Genesis 3:15, that was His plan. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden and ate up that forbidden fruit, even though he was given a law and he sided with his wife, guess what? God the Father didn't wring His hand and say, oh, all is lost. He didn't tell the Holy Spirit, well, Holy Spirit, I guess we can just retire. You know, man, he's and he didn't tell Jesus, the pre-incarnated Jesus, that, hey, all is lost, son. You just stay here. You're never going to go back on earth and redeem man back to myself. You know, no, they didn't. They had a plan. His plan of redemption was outlined in Genesis 3:15. So he knew from the beginning of time what was going to happen, but he didn't panic. He had a way out. So guess what? You know what His way out is? Us. His church. His church. He's dependent on every one of us. Jesus said in the last days, He said that I won't come back to my church until my church, the whole world be filled with my glory. So guess what? In these last days, his enemy is ramping up his campaign to try to bring souls into hell with him. The Spirit of God is lifting up a standard against him. The Spirit of God is lifting up a standard against him. The Spirit of God is lifting up a standard against him. The power of God is going to be more prevalent. More prevalent. And guess how the power of God is going to be manifested on this earth? It's going to be manifested through us, through believers that know who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? And we're going to do exploits in His name. Amen? So guess what? Jesus, when he started His earthly ministry, when Jesus started His earthly ministry, and one of the things about it, He didn't do anything significant until He was 30 years old. But in Luke, the fourth chapter, we're going to read something. Every time Jesus ministered, in fact, when He ministered in Nazareth, His hometown, the book of Isaiah was presented to Him. And He read from the book of Isaiah. And every time before He ministered, He always read that same scripture. And we're going to go to the scripture and see what that scripture was. Luke, the fourth chapter. Now, check this out. Jonathan, on a whim, said, maybe God might be with us. Amen? And then his armor bearer, he was so faithful to the man of God that he was appointed to. Now, armor bearer is a very important person. because the man of God, he's flesh and blood. Sometimes he gets tired and everything. The armor bearer makes sure that all the tedious details that he has concerned with, they don't interrupt him. They don't interfere with him talking to God. Because the man of God, the Mormon of God, has to hear from God. And there's all kind of distractions. The armor bearers, you know what his job is? To keep the distractions away from the man of God that he's serving. And one thing about it, when you're faithful to the man of God or the woman of God that God's assigned you to, guess what? God will give you your stuff as well. God will give you your stuff as well. You'll never be lost into anything significant until you've been faithful, been found a faithful steward over what God has deposited in your heart to serve somebody else. You want to be successful? Go find yourself an Elijah and become an Elijah. If you want to be faithful, go find yourself a Jonathan and become his armor bearer. And guess what? The armor bearer was foolish enough, if the man of God that he was assigned to, and he felt that he was anointed by God, and what he said, man, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm paraphrasing it, but he said, I'm with you. I'm with you. And he followed Jonathan, but guess what? He didn't get ahead of Jonathan. He followed beside him and started slew the people. And the two of them slew 20. And God caused a confusion. And they started, the enemy started slaying them each other. And then the Hebrews and that had been captured before, then they saw the deliverance that was coming through the hand of God. And they joined in. They joined in. So it was a great deliverance because one person believed that it doesn't take a whole crowd to deliver people from the hands of the enemy. And Jonathan was that person. Amen. Jonathan was that person. But his armor bearer was significant because guess what? He believed in the anointing on the man of God that he was supposed to follow. And he said, I'm with you. I got you. I don't know what your young people say in the vernacular, but what do you say? I'm with you, dog. You know, whatever. but I'm down with you. So guess what? Even though his life could have been, you know, killed by following this foolish man, you know, who didn't even really have a sure word from the Lord, but he said, guess what? Maybe God will be with us. And guess what? You know what is a sign that he wanted from God? If they challenge us when we get in their face. Of course that's going to happen. That's going to be the sign that God's going to deliver us. Well, guess what? Jesus said it this way. In this world, you'll have a tribulation. You'll have tribulation. You'll be victorious, but guess what? You're going to have tribulation with persecution. So guess what? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Because guess what? If they challenge Jesus, if they challenge, they're going to challenge you. But guess what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, we can't give what we don't have, all right? We got to get a revelation to realize that God does not have a plan B. We are his plan A. So let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke, the fourth chapter. Luke, the fourth chapter. I thank God for my surgery. I had cataract removed, and I see 20/20. It looks like a mile down the road, but I do need some help now with my nearsightedness. Luke, the fourth chapter, and we're going to read from the 18th verse. Now, does God need a majority to bring victory when we're counting on his word? You and God are a majority. So Luke, the 14th chapter, and this is Jesus. Let's go to 17th chapter, 17th verse, right? It says, the Spirit of the Lord and it was delivered unto him, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. In verse 18, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, I'm going to say right now, go back to that verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Even now while I'm speaking, deep down in my belly, I feel the Spirit of God on the inside of me. And all of us that have been baptized with the Holy Spirit have that same power resident on the inside that raised Jesus from the dead. Guess what? You know what your heart, mind, when the Bible talks about your heart, When Jesus says, out of abundance, out of heart, the mouth speak, he's not talking about this head, this little thing, this brain between our two ears. He's talking about our spirit. Our spirit. Last Sunday, Pastor Cece, she talked about this is the real you, right here, your spirit man, on the inside of you. That's where you hear from God. That's where the Spirit of God comes. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. When we get baptized in the Holy Spirit lives right here, right here out of your gut, right out of your belly. That's where you think from. That's where you hear from God. Spirit to spirit. Those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth, right? Jesus told the woman at the well that they must worship. Now there comes a time that there will be a coming time that those that worship the Father shall worship in spirit and truth. That time came on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and started His earthly ministry. And when we get baptized, you know the reason why the devil fights against baptism in the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues. You know why he hates against? He fights against because he knows that's when we got the power. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you got the same power that T.D. Jakes got. You got the same power that Pope, whatever the name Pope is, you got the same power. If he's baptized in the Holy Spirit, you got the same spirit that Mary Lehenke is baptized in, the same spirit that Benny Hinn is baptized in. That same power resonates on the inside of you. You and God are a majority. So what I'm trying to enable you as a church to realize that when you arrive on the scene, whatever the people need, you have. You have. You have. Silver and gold have I not. But such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and be healed. So you have that same healing power that raised Jesus from the dead. You got that same raised Jesus from the dead. You got that same anointing on you. And all you got to do is be confident and know it. And when you know what? You're not operating on your own reputation. You're operating on the reputation of Jesus Christ. Amen? There was one guy, Dave, in Colorado. Dave, what was his name? Dave DeWell. He had a powerful ministry where, and he believed that he was anointed by God. So what he had a miracle healing deliverance anointing on his life because he believed that he was anointed by God. Guess what? All of us are anointed by God. And so what happened is, he said when he first started stepping out in faith and started praying for the sick, guess what? He said, everyone died. Everyone died. But guess what? He said, well, God, I'm not the healer. Jesus, you're the healer. You're going to heal through me. And when he forgot about his own reputation, but people talking about him, saying he was crazy and stuff, guess what? God said, okay, if you're not doing it for show, you're doing it because you love me. And you're standing on my word. And you know what God started doing? He would start going into the hospitals and whatever, or meet people in Walmart or Kmart or whatever, and he'd get a word of wisdom from the Lord, and he would reveal the hidden things of the heart to them. Because when the nine gifts of the Spirit, they're for every believer. And God gives them to us as we're doing His work. And He'll reveal, but the gifts of the Spirit don't belong to any person. Nobody has them. But as the Spirit will. And you know, a lot of times you'll walk up to a person, you don't know that person, but you'll be able to read their mail through the gifts of the Spirit, the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is God gives you a present piece of truth for that person for that time. The word of knowledge is something in the past that God will reveal about somebody that you don't know with your human ability. So the gifts of the Spirit, they operate to show people that God is still alive today. Amen? And when we step out in faith, God will empower us. And guess what? We have more power than the enemy. I don't want anyone in the church to think that they have to be afraid of the devil. The Bible says that if we resist the devil, submit to God, the devil's going to flee from us. Now, you know what? A lot of times people say, well, the devil's been after me. I would pray for me, child. No. Guess what? That's something wrong. That scripture doesn't say that. The Bible says if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. He'll flee from you. You got to realize that you are anointed. You're anointed. Now we're going to go to Luke, the fourth chapter, and this is Jesus preaching in his own hometown, and they say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Go ahead, read the next. The preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now guess what? I want you to say this after me. I am anointed, and God has entrusted me His power that will be manifested to set the captives free. I have the goods. When I show up on the scene, the Holy Spirit shows up on the scene. When I command whatever is tormenting that person to go in Jesus' name, it has to obey. And I know that God has given me power to set the captives free. So I'm not doing it by my power, but I'm doing it by the power of God. And in order to release the power of God, you have to say something. Now, one thing about it is, when you speak to somebody that is going through something, guess what? And they're tormented by the devil. In fact, let's find that. Dude, and we're going to go back to Luke. Acts 10 and 38. Jesus knew His assignment on earth. Jesus knew His assignment on earth. His assignment on earth, He said that our God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So guess what? Our God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with Him. So guess what? You can't get any better than Jesus. You can't get any better than Jesus. But Jesus said that you have made the Word of God of none effect through the traditions of man. And we've seen a lot of things done in the church that were not according to the Word of God. But guess what? If we want to get truth, we got to get. Let's read the Gospels. Let's read and find out how Jesus did it and do what Jesus did. Did Jesus ever, anytime somebody that was demon possessed, did Jesus ever talk with that devil? No. He said, shut up. He said, shut up. Come out of him. You know what Jesus did? He said, come out of him. Go. He didn't entertain him. He said, shut up. He knew he was the Son of God, and he commanded that devil to be quiet. So guess what? We don't have to walk around and for an hour commanding the devil come out of somebody and saying, what is your name? And then I've got to, okay, there's 900 devils in them, and we got to cast every 900. You know what? The devil's a liar. The devil's not going to tell the truth anyway. But when you're anointed by God, you don't have to know the name. You just got to know you got the power of God. Command that devil to get out of here or get out of her. And they have to go. They have to go. But don't let them speak. And a lot of times when Jesus was ministering to somebody, you know what all he said? When somebody can't speak and can't hear, guess what? That ain't rocket science. Jesus said, you deaf spirit, come out of them. And he might have put his finger in the air, and then all of a sudden, boom, his power went through them, and they could hear. They could hear. But that's what Jesus did. So we can we get any better than Jesus? So guess what? Don't entertain those spirits that got them bound. Don't even, just command them to shut up and be quiet. That's what Jesus did. Praise God. But see, the devil want to distract you and everything, get you around, wall out and try to operate in the flesh. But no, we operate by the power of God. Amen. We do the same thing that Jesus did. And guess what? A lot of times, if it's an incurable disease, guess what? If it's an incurable disease, the root of that is an evil spirit. It's an evil spirit. So we command that spirit to leave them. Now, if it's something like a lot of times we're workaholics in America and everything. So sometimes we abuse our body. We abuse our body, don't take care of it. And then all of a sudden we get something out of whack, out of alignment. Well, guess what? Is anything too hard for God? So guess what? That's when we get a creative miracle. We get a creative miracle. And when we lay hands on the part that's sick, and we command it in the name of Jesus to realign, and be recreated and be and the healing power of God will flow through us and it'll flow into that organ and it'll recreate something that may be missing or broken. So, but guess what? Through everything that God does, He'll get the glory. He'll get the glory. He'll get the glory. And you know how we're gonna win people to the Lord? When somebody is sick or diseased or depressed or whatever, and then we could minister healing to them, healing in the mind, their emotions or whatever, and we command that oppression to leave. Where the Spirit of the Lord there's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord there's liberty. And when we come on the scene, that thing has to leave. That thing has to leave. That had them in depression. It has to go. But you got to realize that you're anointed with God. But right now, while I'm speaking, the Spirit of God, I feel the Spirit of God rising up on the inside of me. And see, Jesus, before when he spoke, he knew that he was anointed. He knew that he was anointed. But you know what? He had to tell everybody that I'm anointed. He had to tell everybody I'm anointed. And then when they believed that he was anointed, guess what? They had faith to believe. And you know what they said? They say, lay hands on me. Lay hands on me and heal me. And when he did, and they believed it, that healing power flowed from him to them. The woman with the issue of blood. Now, Sister Beverly, praise God. She broke that word down like an M16, praise God, to the lowest degree. I'm in the military. I was in the military. The M16, you lived with it, you slept with it, you depended on it. If the enemy came, that was your first defense. So guess what? You had to know that M16, when it jammed up, guess what? You had to know, be able to field strip it blindfolded with no light in the dark. You tear it apart and put it back together and then the jam was clear. And then you know it's going to protect you when you needed it. Well, guess what? That woman with the issue of blood, she heard. See, a lot of people want to be healed, but they don't want to hear. You got to hear something first. You got to hear something first, praise God. When you hear something first, then you have faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Hey, and hearing by the word of God, amen. And that's what, when we hear the word of God, then we have faith. Faith comes alive, amen. The woman with the blood, she has spent all that she had. All she had. And Beverly, you know, she broke this down. She got into the Old Testament law and why shouldn't have been there. She was unclean and all. Man, I say, wow, that's interesting, you know. But praise God. But guess what? Her faith was activated because she spent all her money, didn't have nothing left, penniless almost. And she said, I don't have anything, but I'm worse. This flow of blood. But guess what? She said, she heard about Jesus. And she said, all I need to do is just touch the hem of his garment and I'll be made whole. And she kept saying that. She rehearsed that. She kept saying, she pressed through the crowd, even though she shouldn't have been there. And when she got to Jesus, electricity came out of him. Dunamis came out of him. And he said, who touched me? And his disciples said, Lord, what do you mean, who touched you? What do you mean, who touched you? There's a crowd around. They can't even get by without touching you. And he said, no. This person believed in the power that I was the Son of God. They believed in my anointing. And when she made it a deposit on the anointing that sent me. Praise God. So you got to tell everybody. You got to believe yourself. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I'm the son of the daughter of the Most High God. He has anointed me to do exploits in his name. I'm the church, praise God. And you know, Moses said, Lord, I don't even want to lead these people of Israel out into the promised land except you be with me. He said, God, I want to ask you something. Show me your glory. Praise God. Show me your glory. Praise God. You know what the glory of God is? Is his splendor, his magnificence, his mercy, his unlimited power. That's the glory of God. His goodness is, praise God, his goodness and mercy that overtakes us, that woke us up this morning in the right mind, knowing that God loves us, and I don't care what comes against us, I'm more than a conqueror. That's God's goodness. He said, look, you can't see my face, Moses. But you'll see my glory. But he said, guess what? You have to see my back part. You have to see my back part. He said, I'll hide you in the cleft of a rock and I'll pass before you. And when he passed before God, the glory of God would so fill Moses. It so filled Moses. Every cell, every tissue, every molecule of his body radiated the light of God. Praise God. When he was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights with Father God, guess what? Jehovah God, guess what? When he came down, his face shone. And Aaron and the people, they were afraid of him. It radiated the glory of God. That's what the glory of God is. And guess what? We're filled with the glory. 17th chapter of St. John, Jesus prayed this prayer. He said, God, let them know I want you to fill them with the same glory that I had when I was on the earth. Praise God. And he said, why? Why does God want us to be filled with his glory? Because the people that we're crazy enough to tell them that Jesus loved them and lead them to the Lord so they'll be saved, praise God, and tell them they need to be baptized with God's power and the Holy Spirit, guess what? He wants them to be added to the church daily. And guess why? That's why he fills us with his glory, amen? You know what? The witch doctor, the Hindu, the Muslim, they all believe in some kind of God. But guess what? The God that we have, he answers by fire. He answers by fire. He answers by fire. That's the God we serve. So guess what? That's why signs and wonders are not for the believer. They're for the unbeliever. To realize that God's power is still resident here on this earth. So guess what? Mark the 16th chapter. Let's turn that. Mark the 16th chapter. This is for every believer. A lot of churches are not doing this. But guess what? They haven't been taught it. This is for every believer. Now, signs, we don't follow signs. Somebody say, well, there's an evangelist healing over here, so we're going to, all the church, they will run over there and watch the healing evangelist. Well, guess what? We shouldn't follow signs. Signs should follow us. Amen? We're the believers. And when the Sabbath, now, Mark the 16th chapter, right? And let's go to, I think it's like the 16th verse, okay? Mark, the 16th chapter, the 15th verse. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what the gospel is? It's good news. It's good news. When somebody is depressed and mentally and emotionally, guess what? You know what good news is? That there is a deliverer. Jesus can deliver. He can set free. Somebody that doesn't have friends, guess what? Is socially deprived. Then friends, that's what he wants. That's the answer to their problem, right? Friends. He said unto him, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Gospel is good news. It's not the traditions of man. It's not man's doctrine, but it's the good news. And then keep going, D, next verse. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mm-hmm. Keep going. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now say, I'm a believer. I don't follow signs. Signs follow me. Praise God. In Jesus' name, I'll cast out devils. I'll speak with new tongues. Keep going. And they shall take up servants, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And I shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Praise God. I'm anointed with the power of God. Jesus told everybody when he went to preach, he told them, he, from Isaiah, the 4th chapter, the 18th verse, he read that verse to them. And they had faith to believe that they could be healed. Faith to believe that they could be healed. We're gonna have some training classes. And it's probably gonna be on a Saturday. But what I want all the believers in this church to know that they are anointed with the power of God. And then we're gonna have classes and we're gonna show how God, the power of God can flow not through the pastor, but through every member. Every member. Curtis, we're gonna have sick people here that have ailments. That I can't heal. I couldn't heal a flea if he had a headache. but God can. And Curtis is going to lay his hands on them, and the power of God that's on him is going to flow out to them, and they'll be healed. So God wants to use every believer. Every believer. And we're going to show how this is. If it ain't simple, it ain't the gospel. If it's so hard that we need three popes and a pastor to make it happen, then that ain't the gospel. Amen? Praise God. So it's so simple that every believer, these signs shall follow believers. Say, I am a believer. These signs shall follow me. And this is the homework assignment I want for every one of you. Everybody has access to the internet. There's on YouTube, there's 12 tapes by Charles and Francis Hunter. I would like you to go and review those tapes. View those tapes. And guess what? When you review those tapes, we're going to actually come back and we're going to set a Saturday and we're going to come back and then we're going to have people here that are actually sick. Invite somebody that's sick to bring them here with you. And then we're going to see the power of God flow through us and bring deliverance to them. And there is Charles and Francis Hunter. They're healing evangelists, and they went on to be with the Lord. But you know what? We live in the most blessed generation that ever was. You know why? Because there's generals of the faith that paid a price to get the power of God operating in their life. And somebody has actually put these tapes on YouTube. All we got to do is watch them. All we got to do is watch them. And you'll see lay people that never even, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit that same day. Power of God was risen on the inside of them. And then they were trained. They saw the power of God flow through them to heal everybody. But see, that's how Jesus' glory is going to be filled over the whole earth, because believers are going to be radically saved, radically motivated, filled with the zeal of God according to knowledge. And it's going to be simple. They're not going to be afraid of the devil. They're going to realize that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The devil is nothing but a bully. He's a toothless lion. He's already been defeated. So they'll try to intimidate us, or they'll try to get us off over here in the dish here, casting devils out of every doorknob and not helping anybody. But see, we gotta have balance, and we gotta realize that we're anointed. When we arrive on the scene, Jesus arrives on the scene. And you know what's gonna make the church explode? When you realize that we're going to come back to church on Sunday and we're going to tell what God did, the miracles that God wrought through our hands. And that's how we're going to get excited. And when you realize that you got the goods, you're going to be in Walmart and the Spirit of God is going to come upon you and you're going to be itching and scratching. You got to tell somebody about Jesus. And God, you'll be standing in line and you'll get a word of wisdom about that person. And you'll be able to share something with them. And then guess what? You'll have the opportunity to lead them to the Lord. And that's when life gets excited, isn't it? That's when life gets exciting. You know, I'm 62 years old. I could retire. I could wait for the mailman bring them a retirement check, and I already get a retirement check from the Army. Praise God. And I'm gonna get that until Jesus comes back. Praise God. But then I can get my Social Security check. But guess what? That ain't life, sitting right there in that chair waiting for the check to come. No, I want to be among people. I want to be a tool, instrument used by God to bring deliverance to people that need them. And guess what? Then when we get excited about our salvation, know how God has entrusted us to bring deliverance to the world, then that's when we're going to get excited about it, and then we'll be used mighty of God. But you know what? Thank God we come together. And you know what? When believers come together knowing who they are, there's a corporate anointing. 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 The anointing, in fact, as right now, there's a burning right now on the inside of me. I feel the power of God right now. There's a power of God. And see, God wants us to be able to feel his power while we're at work. While we're at work. While we're in Walmart. While we're at Kmart. While we had Kentucky Fried Chicken, ordered some chicken. We got some chicken we're going to eat later on, praise God. But guess what? God's power, we got to realize that God's power radiates on the inside of us all the time. When we realize that, that's where we're going to be able to be used by God. It's time out for church. time out for social club, time out for who's who, what's she wear, what did he wear, did he have a tie, did he not have a tie, is he saved, praise God. No, praise God, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. I wish Amber is here, because if Amber's here, I'd throw these shoes on and put my tennis shoes on. Because I want him to say, Grandpa, you looking fresh, you know. He's 4 years old, but I love him. I love him. Praise God. But he's something else. But his parents raised him that way. They didn't talk baby talk to him. If he wanted something, if he couldn't verbalize it, he didn't get it. So he had to learn how to speak real quick. And he can read right now. He can read. But you know what? Even though he can read and got the intellect like that, he's still a 4-year-old boy. Because he'd go to that door and then he'll ring the doorbell and he'll laugh. And like so funny, say, Grandma, it's just me, it's Amber. She said, who is it? And then he said, but he still got the temperament of a 4-year-old. You can be as smart as you want to be, but guess what? Don't lose that childlike thing. Jesus said, suffer not the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Amen? Keep that childlike faith. Remember when you first got saved and you were so full of the power of God, all the shackles were broken, and you want to tell everybody about Jesus, praise God. But keep that. Let's get that zeal. Let's go back to our first love. When you start seeing God use you, it's gonna burn up. It's gonna ignite something on the inside of you. Praise God. We're not gonna be able to shut you up. You know, just like I said, the singing gene missed me. You know, Junior can sing, his mama can sing, his sister can sing, but me and Adrian, his older brother, it skipped us. It skipped us, the singing gene. But guess what? God must have knew if I thought I could sing, I wouldn't be able to shut me up. People are saying, please, they pay me to quit singing. Well, praise God, praise God. But we all got a part to play in this thing, amen? And God is dependent on us. He doesn't have a plan B, amen? He does not have a plan B. But I tell you what, you know, we all, it's like fire shut up in my bones right now. The Spirit of God right now radiating on, and it's inside out to me right now. I'm excited. I'm excited about God. Praise God. And you know what? It don't take much. It don't take much. Y'all are here. Y'all are here. We got Dee. We got Josh. We got Chris. Y'all full of the Spirit of God. Praise God. Just being by you. When I touch you, man, that anointing. Praise God. It don't take much. You know what Paul told his son in the faith, Timothy? He said, stir up the gift that's in you. It's in you. I saw it through the laying on of hands. Hey, it's in you. Praise God. It's in you. Amen. Praise God. So all we got to do is when we start bragging on our daddy, he shows up and he shows up. You know, when I was a boy growing up, my brother, older brother Bobby, he just lift weights. And man, he thought he was strong and everything. And he was strong. He lift weights and everything. But when I was little on the playground and I was shooting the marbles and somebody kind of take my marbles and I say, I'm going to go get my big brother. And then when I told them that, they give me my marbles back. Well, guess what? We got a big brother. Amen. Devil got foolish enough to mess with us. I'm going to go get my big brother, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. And use his name. Amen. And get my stuff back. Amen. What you stole, oh, you got to bring back in sevenfold return, praise God. I found you the thief. We got to start bragging on our big brother. He's in on the inside of us, amen? And know that God has power. The power of God is on the inside of us, praise God. So I'm excited, but that's your assignment. Those 12 tapes on healing, I want you to review those. And guess what? You know what? You know what most people... Most of us, and you know what really is ministry fault? It's ministry fault that most people sit in the pews waiting for the preacher to do everything. Because they haven't been taught. They haven't been taught. And you know what? Really, it really is sad. Because they want to be the superstars, and they don't teach the people that, yeah, you need to do it. So guess what? So because people haven't been taught, they've been taught the tradition of men rather than the Word of God. And get into you the gospel. Get into the gospel. Find out, and when you read through the gospel, ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate your heart, your spirit, and your spirit to see how Jesus did stuff. And guess what? We can't get no better than Jesus. Let's do it the way Jesus did. You'll have the same results when you do it like Jesus. Amen? And Jesus said, it's me that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit, He lives on the inside of every one of us. And guess what? Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And guess what? There was one guy that was believing in Him so much that Jesus had to stand up from the throne and applaud Him. Stephen, he was stoned. He was stoned. But you know what Stephen's last word was? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it caught the attention of heaven. So guess what? We have the power of God. But it has to be. There's certain things that you can do to intensify the anointing in you. To read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. And guess what? I'm asking you to do something that lazy Christians ain't going to do. But guess what? I know y'all not lazy. Y'all are just as hungry for the power of God as I am. I don't want church as usual. I don't want made whole ministry to be a church as usual where we come together, have a social club, play patty cake, and go home. And then nothing else happens in our life. I want us to be a church known as a church that do the Word. That do the Word, that live the Word, that anoint it, amen, that have the goods, amen. And so, it's going to take maybe turning off the game gear, or maybe I'm not going to be able to watch my Westerns, or I might not be able to watch I Love Lucy, you know, as long as I'm not going to be able to watch the whole season one of I Love Lucy, you know, and all the episodes, you know, I might have to turn that off. And just Jesus, spend some time with Jesus. Get in the Word. Great. And guess what? And nobody's going to see this. But Jesus, God, the Father, the Holy Spirit. But guess what? When you come out of your, whatever your prayer closet is, your room, and spent time with Jesus, people going to know that you've been with Jesus. You know why? Because you're going to have a glow. The glow. Every cell, every fiber, every molecule in your body is going to radiate the love of God. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. It's going to flow out. You can't help it. Jesus said this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. Now, I tell you what, I don't want to talk about Jesus all the time. It's not my intention. But D keep pulling on me. And I open my mouth, and I got to say something about the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Leave me alone, D. No. I was with Junior, and we were on my appointment, and I was no intention to talk about the Lord, but guess what? He said something. He asked me something, and guess what? He just drew on me, and it came out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When you start saying that I'm valuable to God, God wants to use little old me. Praise God! Every believer, I'm a believer. These signs shall follow believers. You get excited about it. They can't shut you up. You gotta go tell somebody, amen. And that's how I want our church to be, amen. Praise God. So I just thank God for this. I'm excited about what God is doing with the church, but I tell you what, I'm excited. I'm excited about Jesus, amen. I'm excited about God, amen. Praise God. And I'm excited about Chris, my brother here, man. Man, I thank God for you, man. Thank God for you. I don't know. Remember, Chris, years ago we met, remember? And everything. But I never forgot Chris and his humility and his I tell you, God can use all of us. And thank God we're not all the same, amen? We're not all the same. I can't complain to God that I'm not as strong as Josh. You know, I know he's strong. He got superhuman strength, subhuman strength. But praise God. But guess what? Yeah. Wait, say that again.
Josh was in the gym benching 365 the other day. He put it up, what, three times?
Oh, praise God. You didn't put
it up. Well, my bench went down because I haven't been in gym in a while and stuff like that. So I'm sort of actually only touching it. So I'm embarrassed about it. So I'm not going to even mention it.
But you know what? Thank God for Josh. Thank God for Josh. You know what? Thank God for Josh. But you know what? When I'm about doing my father's business, I don't need Josh around. Guess what? I need Chris, full of the Spirit of God, knowing who he is in Christ. That's my protection. Praise God. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? But it's good to have Josh, you know, because they just look at him and say, oh, we ain't messing with them, you know. But Chris, that's all I need. Chris, this mighty man of God here, full of the Spirit of God. He's my protector. Amen. You know, guess what? When I go, you know, my armor bearer, guess what? That's all I need. My armor bearer right here. D. Praise God. We're full of the Spirit of God. Praise God. Hey, D. Can God save with few or many? Is he able to save with a few?
He's able to save many.
He don't need many. He just need a few. Two. Where two or three are gathered in his name. He's in the midst. Amen. So D, we're going to go in the enemy's camp, man. Come on. Are you with me? Are you with me, D? Come on. And you know, perhaps God is able to. No, God is able. Come on. Let's go. Come on, D. Come on, D. Praise God. See that? Just on the word of my faith in God alone, D is following. That's how God wants every one of us to be. Amen. Every one of us to be. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm excited about what God's going to do to all us. Because as we do stuff that lazy people don't do, we're going to have results that lazy people ain't going to get. And they're going to want to know, well, what makes you tick? I see the fire of God in your eyes. I see the glow. I see, you know, God beautifies us with meekness, with holiness, with beauty, beautifies the meek, and praise God. And they'll see that radiating from the inside out. And they'll say, I want some of that. I don't know what you drinking, brother, but I want some of that. And they'll say, oh, okay. Well, I got the river that, you know, flows out of my belly. You can have a taste of this. Come on. There's a price to pay, but you can have it. It's free. It's free. Do you want this peace? Do you want this joy that I have? And we can give it to other people. And that'll be an open opportunity for us to be able to speak life to their life. Tell them about Jesus. Bring them into the kingdom of God. Amen? Bring them into the kingdom of God and get them translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God. And that's what God wants every one of us to do. But guess what? When we walk around in that anointing, we're going to attract people to us. Amen? We're going to attract people. We're not church as usual. But what church is the way God wanted to be usual. Amen? But we got so far, the American church got so far away from the design that God desired it to be, where it was sometime we're going to go to heaven. A lot of us going to go to heaven by the skin of our teeth. But praise God, we're going to, when we stand before God, we're going to have some regret. Amen? But I don't want to regret anything. I want to regret, Lord, you know what? The reason God has preserved me this long, because he had a plan for my life that I had to fulfill. I could tell you a testimony that I should have died in a car accident. My car should have went over the cliff, and I should have died. I was going to Fort Campbell, Kentucky. The roads were icy, and I hit an ice slick, black ice, and the car did a 180-degree turn on the other side of the embankment in going through Chattanooga, Tennessee. There was nothing but a drop, and my car would have hit the drop, and I would have ignited in the flames. I would have been dead, even if it didn't blow up. I would have been dead because of the height that my car went through. But I cried out to Jesus. I didn't even know God threw it from a goose, but I cried out, Jesus! Just like Pastor Cece said, even the atheist, when he comes up against death, they say he don't even know God, he's going to cry out to God. He's going to cry out to God. I cried out to God, and God heard my cry. And instead of going over an embankment, I ran into a rock, and my car did 108 races and it slammed into the embankment, and I was saved. And I told God, thank you for saving me, and I'm going to live for you. And I didn't have no intention of living for God than anything else, but through a trial of events, God led me to somebody that led me to the Lord, and my life has never been the same since. But see, God loved me, and God loves each and every one of us. Amen. So praise God. And so anyway, that's our assignment. Church, Would we do our homework? I'm doing my homework right now. You know what I do? You know what I do? She'll tell you. When I go to sleep at night, these phones, ain't that wonderful? I put a jack in there. You know what I do? I put a headset on, and I listen to a teaching tape. Now, somebody I got confidence that's grounded, Charles and Francis Hunter, I listen to a teacher, and my spirit doesn't sleep. My spirit doesn't sleep. And I have my headsets on, and I'm listening to that tape, and I try to listen to it, you know, as long as I can, but then guess what? Night, Jesus. But guess what? But my spirit is getting that in. My spirit is getting that in. That spirit is getting that in. And I tell you, the more I get into the Word of God, the more I want to get into the Word of God, the more peace and joy I have. And it gets to a point where you're going to get out and you say, okay, well, all right, but classroom's over. Let's go out and do something about this thing. Amen. Praise God. But that's, so like I say, that's what I do. That's what I do. I try to read the Word of God as much as I can. And I find out as I read the Word of God and get hungry for the Word of God, I was reading the Word of God the other day, and it looked like the pages of the book just leaped out at me. I got understanding like I never had before, and it looked like it burned into my spirit when I started reading the Word of God. And that's when God sees you have a hunger and thirst for Him like that, then He'll feel it. He'll feel it. He'll give you your heart's desire. When our heart's desire is in tune with what our daddy wants, He's going to get, because He say, oh, that they got my heart. You know, David. Every time you talk about David, a lot of times people say, yeah, he messed up with Bathsheba and he did all of that. And well, guess what? You know, what did God say about it in Acts? He said, David is a man after my own heart. David is a man after my own heart. Guess what? When David, in Psalm 51, let's find Psalm 51. This is what David was. David had sense enough to know, okay, I messed up. I've been caught. I've been found. Lord, forgive me. You know, so he went to the temple and he prayed. He said, perhaps God won't kill the son, right? That I can't, my illegitimate son. Well, guess what? When God took the son, because there's a consequence to pray a lot of times when you sin, amen. God can deliver you. He can forgive you. Sometimes it's a consequence to pray. If I go out and have illicit sex with 10 women, and guess what? God can forgive me, and Cecilia probably can forgive me for adultery, right? But guess what? I might have 10 kids. No, I'm using this as an illustration. I would never do that, but I'm just using the illustration. But guess what? I might have 10 babies I gotta take care of. Hey. No. Let me set the record straight. Trying to keep up with this beautiful woman, that wears me out. I ain't got time for nobody else, okay? Praise God. But all I said that to say this, sometimes it's consequences. Well, guess what? There's consequences. But guess what? Guess what God said when David did pray this prayer? Have mercy upon me, oh my God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. He's rehearsing to God how compassionate He is, how forgiving He is. And then he said, keep going. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Keep going. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and only thee have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou may be justified when you speak it and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin that my mother conceived me. And that's all of us. Amen. Keep going. Huh? Oh, that was it? Okay. But anyway, his prayer. Huh? Next verse. Oh. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So in other words, he said, God, I'm not going to the prophet to tell the prophet to pray for me and intercede for me, but God, I'm coming to you directly. I want you to cleanse me. I want you to wash me. I'll be, you know, and just like Isaiah said, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Amen? And keep going. Make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. So say, God, I want to restore everything within me. And so he cried out to God. And that's why God said he's a man after my own heart. You know what? When we confess our faults, our sins to God, He's faithful and just, forgive us, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Guess what else? He doesn't even remember it anymore. It's blotted out in the book. God, you know, God keeps the book. It's blotted out in His book when we confess our sins. And that's why, and see, I want to be like David. Okay, I'm the man. Nathan went to a prophet, and he said, you know, there's a rich guy that had a whole lot of sheep, and there's a poor guy, his neighbor had one sheep, and so when some friends came, instead of getting one of his thousands of sheep, he took the poor man's sheep and killed it and gave it to his friend. And David said, as God, the Lord God liveth, this guy's going to die. Who is the man? And then Nathan said, you are the man. So he was quick to repent. He was quick to repent when he was found out. But anyway, that's all I got to say. But I'm excited about our assignment.